Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I have to tell another story. I think Matt sensed that the interview went well. And at the end of the interview, he said, "Mark, what's your time frame?" And I gave him some bullshit. Excuse me. But I was like, "Well, you know, I believe in hire slowly. We're going to move forward with all deliberate speed." And so I said, "We'll get back to you." And then when they left, that's when we started saying, "I liked him. Do you like him? We all liked him." So it was the very next day.
Those are the words of Mark Murphy. Going to talk some Packers football coming up here momentarily. Mike Clemens, NFL Sirius Radio, joining us here in studio. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. I led with that audio from Mark Murphy because there was a story last week that everybody was talking about in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from the senior football writer Tom Silverstein that said, you know, Mark Murphy came out and said, all right, we interviewed these seven or eight coaches on this whirlwind tour we had of the United States. We finished on a Sunday afternoon in Nashville, talking to the Titans offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur. And we left there, the three of us, Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, all said, well, that went pretty good. You know, I like that guy. And so the story is that, you know, the feeling was, well, okay, we'll bring him to Green Bay for a second interview. But that, you know, the way Mark told it at the press conference, it's like, you know what? We were already satisfied. We talked to a bunch of other guys. We'd heard good things about this guy. We'd done our homework. And, you know, it's January 8th, January 9th. It's teams are gobbling up coaches left and right. There's seven or eight openings. It's the musical chairs dance. And so maybe there was a sense of urgency, like, we better offer this guy now. You know, Aaron Rodgers talks to him from a golf course out in Arizona.
Sure.
They say, hey, Aaron, call this guy. Tell us what you think. So, Tom's story last week said that, no, this is more of a Murphy decision to say, let's just hire this guy now, that Murphy was sure about.
Mm-hmm.
And that Brian and Russ just sort of signed off on it. And so that, you know, this argument will continue back and forth about what Murphy's done by changing the structure after 25 years and all those divisional championships and two wins in the Super Bowl. Why would you change the structure and not let a football guy like Gutekunst have the coach work for him? And Murphy's made this clear. You know what? It got to be too much for one man. It got to be too much for Ted Thompson, regardless of his health status.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Murphy on this. One of the things I found most interesting, though, about this is, you know, there weren't a lot of coaching candidates out there. And LaFleur is not exactly a guy that, you know, sets the world on fire when he's standing up at the podium.
Has he gotten better, by the way?
Well, the more that you see him coach, the more you say, okay.
Now you get it.
You know, I like the guy, the fact that he's out there jogging across Oneida.
Right.
And hitting the crosswalk.
Now, if he jogs past you in the McDonald's drive-thru,
yeah.
You know,
that's a different story.
And he jogs past and kind of elbows you in your mirror as he jogs by. Then he's really, Wisconsin.
To cut in line, yeah. To cut in line, sure, for the double
cheeseburger. He's just ordering the curds to go.
No, it's just, they promised new energy, and it feels like that up there. Between the change of the atmosphere and brighter and louder and all that, him out there throwing to the running backs, actually playing quarterback and throwing passes, and him running around and talking to all these rookies and undrafted players at the rookie minicamp last week and talking these guys up, that part was impressive. But I think that what I was most intrigued by is this interview that Mark Murphy did, and one of the few times he's actually been asked, you know, why did you, of those 10 guys, why did you settle on LaFleur? He says, well, he's got this quiet confidence. Well, who does he remind you of? And then Murphy says, Joe Gibbs. Oh, see, it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's Mark Murphy, 2 or 3 years in the NFL as a safety for the Washington Redskins, who played for Colgate, who got kind of recruited by George Allen, the legendary coach, who had moved on. His time had passed, all right, after runs with the Rams and the Redskins. And Mark Murphy felt like he was on a team like, we could be going places, and we haven't quite got the right guy. So they bring in this guy, Joe Gibbs, who had been in the league for about 10 or 12 years. He had worked as a running backs coach. He had worked as an offensive coordinator for the very hot San Diego Chargers, calling plays in the game. He's 41 years old. Not a rah-rah guy, but a really smart guy who took the Redskins to not one, not two, but three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, with Theismann, and then he had the career-ending injury with Doug Williams and Mark Rippon. Three different quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Mark Murphy is saying. This is what this guy reminds me of, my own coach when I was with Washington. I find that impressive. Matt LaFleur promises with his coaching staff, this is going to be an energetic group.
I think we're going to bring a lot of energy every day. And I think we'll be able to connect and reach our players. And that's what I'm most excited about. I think, again, I think they're all great, high character guys. You're going to get to know these guys. You will not see egos. And these guys are going to roll up their sleeves and get to work. And I think our players will appreciate that. And they'll be excited moving forward.
I always love the, we're going to roll up our sleeves and get to work. You know, I mean, I know it's, I get it. It paints a picture, but I don't care if you roll them up. I don't care if you show up in a suit. I just want to make sure that you're good enough to actually coach the guys that you're going to have under you to get to the right place. We know that Mike Pettine had success with kind of a patchwork defense last year. I just wonder what he's going to do with the talent that they've acquired.
Well, one of the concerns about this 39-year-old coach LaFleur coming in, he's the second youngest coach to Sean McVay with the Rams, is the staff that he brought in. Now, Mike Pettine is his most experienced guy.
Right, he's
the older dude. NFL coach, you know, with the Browns, and his experience in the league, working with Rex Ryan, Jets, Ravens, etc. So Ted Thompson had to make a hire, and he hired a 42-year-old coach in 2006 in Mike McCarthy. McCarthy brought in Jeff Jagodzinski, who'd been an offensive coordinator, were part of the Falcons staff there. Alex Grimm, the zone blocking run, you know, and they were going to get cut blocks in Green Bay. He inherited Bob Sanders as his defensive coordinator, just like LaFleur's going to bring on Mike Pettine. Bob had been in Green Bay over a couple of years. Remember, he took over for Jim Bates.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob was there through the 13-3 2007 season, and then things dropped off and they fired him and they brought in Dom Capers. And Bob was probably better as a defensive line coach anyway than a defensive coordinator. But he inherited him from Mike Sherman. Mike McCarthy had a staff of 19 assistant coaches. 12 of them he'd worked with before. When McCarthy worked for Schottenheimer and the Chiefs all those years, and then got to offensive coordinator with the Saints, and then the 1 year with the 2-14 49ers and Alex Smith in his rookie season, Mike Nolan, he'd worked with 12 of these guys. Matt LaFleur has hired 24 coaches. He brought on 10. Most of them are Pettine's guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a staff now of 24.
Got one for every player.
Do you know how many he's worked with?
7.
2.
Really?
He hasn't even worked with these guys. 2 of them. One of them, his offensive line
coach. You're going to need a second plane just for the coaches.
Bill, if you took your show to the next level, and not that you need to, right? Wouldn't you bring a couple of people that have been in the trenches with you?
Yeah, you'd probably bring a couple of people, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad he's got that kind of an open mind. It makes you also wonder who's pushing the hires. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If somebody up above is saying, hey, I want to hire this guy, I want to bring this guy. But 24 assistant coaches.
That have got to teach, you know, a new offensive scheme, right?
Yeah.
To all these players. Aaron Rodgers on down. So, you know, coaches talk all the time about team chemistry. Players among, you know, the receivers with the quarterback, mm-hmm. and secondary with the middle linebacker who's, you know, calling the signals, calling the defensive plays. And I asked Mike Pettine about, what about chemistry amongst the assistant coaches?
We spent a lot of time last year having to shuffle in a lot of different players. In year one of a system, it's really hard to get into the graduate level details of the jobs. So kind of going through the end of the year cut-ups, and you come to the realization we spent so much more time last year on coaching players on what to do and not enough time on how to do it. And that's usually typical of a year one. So we're just looking forward to having guys that are experienced in the system. We have a much better sense of who we are and what our skill set is and what we want to get done.
That was my bet. That was his answer to the question about now that you're back And, you know, half of your guys, Jerry Montgomery, some of these other guys are back with you a second year. How much does that help? And I found that fascinating where he says, you know, you got injuries, guys are going down, you got new guys here, you're trying to teach them a new system. And you're lucky if you can just say, all right, here's your assignment. You line up outside the tackle there, and your key is the running back. But you don't have time to teach them how.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, what if the running back steps out 3 feet? I still got to cover him. But now I got to go after this a different way. And we haven't worked on that in drills. And how do I get around that and not commit a penalty or, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, there's guys like veterans, you know, like tight ends, like Martellus Bennett a couple of years ago. He, you know, as much of a flameout he was, the guy was a veteran. He could line up outside a tackle. He would have a blocking assignment. He showed us one day in camp about there's four different ways I could do the same thing with his experience.
Mm-hmm.
I could go inside and kick him. I can go outside and do this. He showed us four different moves that he could use and for a variety of moves too. So it's not the same thing,
right?
But to get the same assignment done blocking. And so that's, I thought was interesting from Pett is that it's like, we don't even have time to show these guys how you're supposed to do it. You just need to know where you're supposed to line up and what your assignment is. And he said, that's what I can do in the second year is show how. But then the other thing that I asked him about is the key to the chemistry of this brand new coaching staff of 24 coming together for the first time.
I think it's more important for coaching staff because if the staff isn't all on the same page and united and on the same front, then it's going to be hard for the players to be. And you know, I tell the coaches, I told them in our first defensive staff meeting, like it's okay for us to disagree. We just don't want to do it ever in front of the players. We'll always want to put out a united front, and you know, we'll meet behind closed doors, and if there's any differences of opinion, we'll get those we'll get them aired out and settled. But I think it's critical that the coaching staff is united and very much on the same page.
We're going to take a quick break. We got more with Mike Clemens hanging out with us from NFL Sirius Radio. More with Mike Clemens talking Packers next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We had a standard year of going to the playoffs every single year and did that 8 years in a row. And we were competitive in the mix. And then the last couple of years, obviously, been frustrated in the finish. So, you know, I think we're in a good spot. You know, there isn't a grace period. This isn't like other transitions where you, you know, kind of maybe give a pass for the first year or two as you get acclimated to the system. I mean, we have, you know, a veteran quarterback, veteran offensive lineman. We signed, you know, some big free agents for us, especially three on defense. You know, there's an expectation living and playing here that you're going to compete for championships, and I think we all expect to do that.
Those are the words. Aaron Rodgers. Welcome back to the program. Joining us here in studio, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. And what else we got?
Well, as I thought about this new staff of 24 coaches, only two that have worked with Matt LaFleur, and as they now we get into phase two. The OTAs start next Tuesday at noon. It'll be open to the public. You can see them on the Clark Kinkle Field. They're working on the Ray Nitschke Field, the one that's got the nice stands in it
right
to get it ready for training camp. But it's open to the public. If it's not raining, they'll be doing it outdoors on the outdoor field there. Who's going to have the toughest job? I mean, you know, you've got new safeties in there. You got Adrian Amos brought in from the Bears. It's going to be fun to watch Ha-Ha Clinton Dix play for the Bears, you know. They signed him.
The toughest job might be the groundskeeper. Just yeah. Throw it out there.
So, you know, you're bringing in a veteran, and then he'll be working with Tremont Williams, and then you got Darnell Savage, who you took, you know, to move up with out of in the first round, you know, 21 overall, made that big move. A lot of speed, looking very forward to him getting in. But, you know, all these new safeties, Josh Jones comes back, maybe if he's in the mix. So is that going to be Jason Simmons, the defensive back coach, in his first year doing this now? Is he going to be the guy that's going to be taking charge of that after being promoted? Is it going to be offensive line, you know, Adam Stanovich? Is it going to be Mike Smith working with all those free agents that they brought in at linebacker? But like at the Hall of Fame banquet and talking to former Packers, you know, from Leroy Butler and Gary Ellerson and Lynn Dickey and former staffers too, people just talking football and just saying, you know, the challenges that Matt's going to be facing. They all said, it's quarterback, the quarterback room. Not that Aaron Rodgers is a problem guy. It's just, think of this. If you've got a position coach, and he's in there like Ben Sermon's the running back coach. It's pretty much cut and dry. Here's what the playbook looks like. Here's what Coach LaFleur wants. Here's where your blocking is. Here's the technique you should be using. And that's not a room where necessarily one of those running backs necessarily going to come up with a question and say, wow, I never thought of that. Well, every other question from the quarterback room with Aaron Rodgers is going to be, he's going to think of five different ways to do that. Not that he's trying to create a problem. They're legitimate questions. They're legitimate questions. And the guy who has to coordinate all that is Luke Getsy, who they bring in as a quarterback coach. Luke had played quarterback in college. Then he's a receivers coach with the Packers for 4 or 5 years. He was the guy making all those guys catch Devontae and Jordy catch tennis balls or bricks or all kinds of strange things for hand-eye coordination. I think he knew that there was going to be a problem on the horizon, so he took the offensive coordinator job with Mississippi State, worked there with Elgton Jenkins at center, who's now been drafted by the Packers on their offensive line, and LaFleur hires him as the quarterback's coach. So the first question for Luke Getsy, now that he's back in Green Bay, is what does he think was wrong with Aaron Rodgers last year and the Packers' offense?
I wasn't here, and I didn't watch it close enough to be able to give a fair assessment of if it was him, if it was someone else or not. We're all about moving forward. I know what he's capable of doing. I know what he's excited about moving forward and what we're going to do here to try to get him playing at that MVP level that I know he's more than capable of doing. You know, I just walked into a new situation in Mississippi State. You got to earn people's trust before, show them how much you care before they're going to care about you and want to do well for you. So I think that phase is probably going to just happen quicker, naturally, right? Being here for 4 years and creating a relationship. So that part of it, makes the transition much easier. But the new offense and the new principles and all that stuff, we got a lot of work to do. And so we're going to rely on the relationship as far as the mutual trust and respect we have for each other. But we got a lot of work to do to get him to, dive into this offense fully and be able to function at a high level in it.
So to teach Aaron the new terminology.
The whole thing about the trust, he either has it or he doesn't. I don't think he's just returning. So that should be the easy portion of all of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And not only that, not only is they going to get on the same page with Aaron Rodgers, be the liaison to the play caller, Matt LaFleur, they got to get a better performance out of backup quarterback. DeShone Kizer, mm-hmm. Tim Boyle, maybe somebody else they bring in during camp. That's something they're going to be looking for as well. But, of course, the number one question is, what does Luke think will be the biggest change or challenge for Aaron to adapt to Matt LaFleur's offense?
I think the terminology, the style or what, I think, it has the West Coast, roots. The backbone is what he's comfortable, the timing, the rhythm, and all that stuff that he's really, really good at. I think that's all there. The principles are there. It's just speaking the language. That'll be the biggest thing that for everybody. Because there's a lot of people in this building that have been here a while and we're ingrained in the previous terminology. We're taking our time and making sure that we are learning the ins and outs of every single one of these, whether it's a protection, a run play, pass play, whatever. We are putting this thing together the right way, and the details are just so important to the guy. And so I got pages and pages of notes for each and individual play. And so as we cycle back through this thing again, I can definitely tell that as we're putting this thing together, the details are going to be extremely important to the success of the offense. So the stress of that detail, I'm excited about that.
I think I'm excited for Aaron Rodgers to be re-engaged. You know what I mean? An enthusiastic Aaron Rodgers, rather than going through the motions, knowing the terminology and rolling his eyes at some of the things that Mike calls. This is like a new adventure every day now.
Aaron Rodgers has probably already got this thing halfway memorized, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just needs to choreograph it during the next 3 weeks during OTAs and the mini camp.
Right.
And they'll do the install now. This is phase two. They'll install, then they take a break, then they come back from training camp. They install it again for the first 2 weeks, and then you got to get ready to play the Chicago Bears in defense with this offense. And the biggest thing that will be driving Aaron Rodgers crazy is not that he already knows the new terminology and the LaFleur offensive plan and concepts backwards and forwards. Is does everybody else know what we're doing, right? That's what he's going to be concerned mm-hmm. about. And if the other coaches, some of them inexperienced, is everybody on this offense? And if you've got 15 different guys you're rotating in offense, is everybody on the same page? What about Matt LaFleur? And of all the guys that were out there, are there guys with more NFL experience or that have been quarterback coaches or maybe even offensive coordinators looking to get back in or something? Why did you pick Luke Getsy?
It didn't have to be a guy that necessarily worked with Aaron. Some things that I really did like about Luke is the fact that he played quarterback in college. I reached out not only to Aaron, but a couple other guys with him, you know, being in the building before, just to find out what they thought of him as a man and as a coach. And, you know, everybody gave him a, you know, a thumbs up. So he came in here. I thought he did a great job on the interview. And I'm going to do my part. I know I need to be in that room, especially as much as I possibly can. I am going to be the play caller. I think that relationship between the play caller and the quarterback is absolutely critical. So I will be in there as much as I can. I don't foresee ever missing a quarterback meeting.
Yeah, you would think that's pretty important.
Well, that's just it. And it's not necessarily, you know,
granted, he's going to use Luke Getsy as kind of his right-hand man when it comes to working with Aaron Rodgers. There's the buffer, but yeah, he needs to be in there.
And again, this is not because Aaron Rodgers is going to be obstinate or anything like that. It's just that you've got to get the quarterback room right. If all three quarterbacks for all the different phases during your practice, all three quarterbacks have to be out there and direct the huddle and direct players and have full understanding of what LaFleur wants before you worry. You know, even if you got the wide receivers coach, his name is Alvis Whitted, not an NFL player for 8 or 9 years, but this is his first real NFL experience. Or Justin Uten, a guy who was an assistant at one of the stops LaFleur had. Ben Sermons, he's back as a running back coach. But you got to get that quarterback room up and ready during these OTAs in minicamp. And Nathaniel Hack is your offensive coordinator after his time with Doug Marone with the Bills and then the Jaguars. And he kind of got left out to dry with Blake Bortles on that when he got cut from that Jaguars job. It'll be Nathaniel Hackett's job then to sit in those quarterback rooms. But he's got to make sure that the rest of the group, that the tight ends, the wide receivers, running backs, and the offensive line all have got on the same page with LaFleur's message on this offense.
I think we all know, Luke, myself, Matt, we all know it's about one voice. I mean, there's so many times that if you get mixed messages to anybody on the field, it's not just about Aaron, it's anybody. You know, really my whole job is to make sure that everybody's speaking the same language, everybody's saying the same thing. That's so important. You can never give mixed messages because these guys were expecting to go out in front of 70,000 people and execute. They have to know exactly what we're expecting from everybody.
I like the fact that this is all about communication at this point. That's all this. It's all I'm hearing is everybody's going to be on the same page. Everybody's got to be in the room. Everybody's got to kind of pull the rope in the right direction. It's all about teaching and learning, but it's all communication.
So while people in Green Bay convinced me, no, it starts with the quarterback room. Okay, I'll give you that. But I still think it actually comes down to offensive line. It really does. And because, I mean, all those years under Holmgren and Sherman and Mike McCarthy, they say you build an offense from the center out. It starts with the center, and you got to get offensive line down and all the different pass protections. And those guys are going to be able to play together as a unit. So that means it's Adam Stenovich, a guy who's from Marshfield, Wisconsin, got picked up and played tackle for Michigan. He was undrafted, went to the Panthers, but they moved on. Ted signed him, and he was like a practice squad guy for about a year, then a reserve, played for the Texans. And when he was with the Texans as a player, that's when LaFleur had some time there as a quarterback coach. So this guy's 35 years old, and he's playing. He's not going to be the head coach of guys that he couldn't beat, obviously. You know, Bakhtiari and the rest of that class. Some of those guys like Darren College were there, and then they moved on. He couldn't beat those guys. So the question we had for him is, what do you think about what you've got with Corey Linsley at center, David Bakhtiari, maybe Bulaga will still be there? What do you think about this group you've got to coach?
Yeah, I'm really excited about these guys after evaluating them. I think the biggest challenge is just teaching, obviously, the new scheme and the new techniques that are going to go with it. Just being in this system and kind of understanding it, understanding the issues and the pluses and minuses of everything that goes on, and just kind of how I am in general, having played in this and seeing things from the player's perspective. You know, when you teach guys techniques, you teach them the things about what they're going to need to do to compete. I'm able to see things from their perspective, which I think really helps. And then also just being involved in this offense that Matt wants to run. I've had a lot of good experience in this offense as a player and as a coach. The thing that I've been fortunate to do, especially when I got into playing in the NFL, is playing every position, being able to do that, and also being involved in a lot of systems. So you learn a lot of offense And, you know, if you pay attention and really focus in on it, you can use that as you get into coaching. There's a lot of nuances to it. So just that's going to be our biggest deal over OTAs and training camp, is just ironing out all those new things that they got to learn so we can be as best as we can be on Sundays.
But the real deal is this. Adam Stanovich, you were a practice squad guy here. You got some
right.
staffs with the Texans, okay, as a fill-in. And now you have to come in. And you're from Marshfield, and James Campen was a center for Brett Favre here. And then he came on as an assistant, and then was a longtime offensive line coach through Super Bowls and all that. Now he's with the Browns. He's one of the best offensive line coaches. These are the shoes you've got to fill. How do you feel about that?
It's pretty surreal. Definitely very honored, very excited about this opportunity. It's something I've worked very hard for once I got into coaching. I always wanted to be an O-line coach in the NFL. So to be here back home in Green Bay, that's something, you know, that I think is quite an honor. You know, obviously Camp did a great job here, and, you know, he's left his legacy. You can definitely tell, talking to all the people in the building, how much he meant to everybody. But I'm just excited about getting going, starting new things, kind of building our own deal with the O-line and moving forward and kind of building on what was done in the past.
So there you go. Mike, good stuff.
Thank you, Bill.
Chatting some Packers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.